214. Our virtues. It's probable that we also still have our virtues, although it's reasonable to think that they will not be those naive, four-square virtues for whose sake we respect our grandfathers, at the same time holding them somewhat at arm's length. We Europeans of the day after tomorrow, we firstborn of the 20th century, with all our dangerous curiosity, our multiplicity and art of disguise, our tender and, so to speak, sweetened cruelty in spirit and sense, if we're to have virtues, we'll presumably have only those which have learned best how to tolerate our most secret and most heartfelt inclinations, our most burning needs. So then, let's look for them in our labyrinths, where, as we know, so many different things get lost, so many different things disappear forever. And is there anything more beautiful than seeking out one's own virtues? Doesn't this mean that one already almost believes in one's own virtues? But this phrase, believe in one's own virtues, isn't that basically the same thing people in earlier times used to call their good conscience? That long, worthy pigtail of an idea which our grandfathers hung behind their heads, and often enough behind their understanding as well. Thus it seems to follow that no matter how little we may think ourselves as old-fashioned and as respectable as our grandfathers in other things, in one respect we are nonetheless the worthy grandsons of these grandfathers, we last Europeans with good consciences. We, too, still carry their pigtail. Oh, if you knew how soon, how very soon, things will be otherwise. 215. Just as it sometimes happens in the realm of the stars that two suns determine the orbit of a planet, and in some cases suns of different colours cast their lights around a single planet, sometimes red light, sometimes green light, and then again lighting it both at once, flooding it with colours, in the same way, we modern men, thanks to the complicated mechanics of our starry heaven, are determined by different moralities. Our actions change their lights into different colours. They are rarely unambiguous. And there are enough cases where our actions have many colours. 216. Love one's enemies? I think that has been well learned. These days it happens thousands of times, in small and big things. In fact, now and then something even higher and more sublime takes place. We learn to despise when we love, and precisely when we love best. But all this is unconscious, without any fuss, without any pomp and circumstance, rather with that modesty and secret goodness which prohibit solemn words and virtuous formulas. Morality as a pose. That offends our taste nowadays. This is also progress, just as it was progress for our fathers when religion, as a pose, finally offended their taste, including hostility to and a Voltairean bitterness against religion, and everything that formerly went along with the sign language of free thinkers. It's the music in our conscience, the dance in our spirit, which makes all Puritan litanies, all moral sermons, and petty bourgeois respectability sound out of tune. 217. Be careful of those who set a high value on people's ascribing to them moral tact and refinement in drawing moral distinctions. They never forgive us if they ever make a mistake in front of us, or even against us. Inevitably, they become people who instinctively slander and damage us, even when they still remain our friends. Blessed are the forgetful, for they are dumb with their stupidities as well. 218. Psychologists in France, and where else are there still any psychologists nowadays, have not yet stopped enjoying the bitter and manifold pleasure they get from bêtise bourgeoise, bourgeois stupidity. It's as if, but enough, by doing that they are revealing something. For example, Flaubert, that decent citizen of Rouen, finished up by seeing, hearing, and tasting nothing else any more. That was his kind of self-torture and more refined cruelty. Now, for a change, since this is becoming tedious, I recommend something else for our delight. And that's the unconscious shiftiness with which all good, thick, well-behaved, average spirits react to higher spirits and their functions. That subtle, complicated, Jesuitical shiftiness, which is 1,000 times more subtle than the understanding and taste of these average people in their best moments, or even the understanding of their victims as well. This is repeated evidence for the fact that instinct is the most intelligent of all forms of intelligence which have been discovered so far. Briefly put, you psychologists should study the philosophy of the norm in its war against the exception. There you'll see a drama good enough for the gods and divine maliciousness. Or, to put the matter still more clearly, practice vivisection on the good people, on the homo bonae voluntatis, man of good will, on yourselves. 219. Moral judgment and condemnation are the favourite revenge of the spiritually limited against those who are less limited, as well as a form of compensation for the fact that nature has thought ill of them, and finally a chance to acquire some spirit and become refined. Spiritualized malice. Deep in their hearts they feel good that there is a standard before which those plentifully endowed with spiritual wealth and privilege stand just like them. They fight for the equality of all before God, and almost require a faith in God just for that purpose. Among them are the most powerful opponents of atheism. A person who said to them, "A high spirituality can't be compared with the solidity and respectability of a man who is merely moral," would make them furious. I'll be careful about doing this. I much prefer to flatter them with my principle that a high spirituality itself arises only as the final offspring of moral qualities, that it is a synthesis of all those conditions which are ascribed to the merely moral man, after they've been acquired one by one through long discipline and practice, perhaps through an entire chain of generations, that the high spirituality is precisely the spiritualization of justice and that kind severity which knows that its task is to maintain the order of rank in the world, not only among human beings, but even among things.